Right, we are recording.
All right, good morning, everybody. It is December 7th, 11:05. Welcome to the Leon County Research and Development Authority Board of Governor meeting. I'd like to call us to order. We have one guest with us, Kevin Gerke from Office of Economic Vitality. Thank you for joining us.
Yes.
Nobody's joining us electronically. Okay, any modifications to the agenda? Any public comments submitted?
We did not receive any.
The draft minutes have been disseminated. Everybody's had it. Okay, it's been moved.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor, aye.
Aye.
That's, that passes. Consent agenda.
Move consent.
It's been moved, it's been seconded. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor, aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? That one passes. Item number eight, treasury report. Dave.
Good morning. Let's see, we have a treasury report on the screen. If we don't, you should have some handouts. I think we do have them both up there. The first report we're going to look at is the income statement. You'll see pretty quickly up there we have, let's see if I can get this thing to work.
Yeah, it worked on the screen.
Okay, all right. You see we have revenues of $76,500. That's down a little bit from budget, some $7,400, but we've got some timing issues, some things that will come in. I think we should catch up the budget there. Operating expenses are really nice right now. They're only $93,000 against a plan of $132,000, so we're in good shape there. We had the other non-operating issues, and we come out with a net loss of $46,480. The only good news about that is that we had projected our losses to be around $73,000. So not looking good, but better than we had perhaps projected. If you look at the next page, you'll see there the combined balance sheet. Not a lot to report there other than we still have plenty of cash right here at $975,000, but it's down by some $400,000 from the previous month. I'll talk about that in a minute. Receivables are looking good, $3,353,000. That's down slightly. Total assets are $30,266,000. You see over on the liability side, our construction accounts, accounts payable, so on, $1,075,000. That jumped up pretty much from September, but all is expected there. Going to the next page, you'll see there the cash flow report. This one's concerning to me. You'll look in the columns called LCRDA, and you look over on August the 30th, we had a cash of $3,036,000. A month later, our cash had dropped to $2,693,000. A month later, dropped to $2,280,000. Cash is going down rapidly, and expect when we get the new facility next door, we're going to add a lot of other things, utilities, janitorial, insurance. So just to say to you as your treasurer, watch the cash flow. It's getting concerning. Are there any other reports, Mr. Chair, or any members of the board? I want to thank Annie for our help with getting all this prepared for me. She does a good job. I'm appreciative of it. Our 90-day past dues, we are a little bit high to some 14,000. We have one of them in there at 9,000, the bulk of it. There should be no problem. Most of these are CAM related, and we are billing now more frequently than we did before, so we caught a few of them off guard, but I don't see any issues with our accounts receivable. Mr. Chair, that completes my report.
Dave, thank you. Any questions or comments for Dave?
Moved to approve.
All right.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion? None. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
It stands unanimous. Thank you. Item number nine.
Actually, we got a C and D in the report. Just as a reminder, included in your package were the budgets for the North Florida Innovation Labs as well as the LCRDA for the year. We've already gone over them. They've already been approved. Just wanted you guys to have those as a reference point. Handy. The next thing, item D, is that I want to liquidate the SPIA account. For those of you that were on the, we talked about this at our investment committee meeting as well as our exec meeting. We have two treasury kind of investment accounts. One is Prime and one is SPIA. The differences primarily are the duration of the investments. SPIA is longer term. It has a lot longer exercise to withdraw funds. As you guys heard from David, we are consuming our cash and expect that to continue over the next 12 months. I want to start the process of pulling our funds out of SPIA, moving them to Prime. At present, because of an inverted yield curve, our actual interest rate return is higher on Prime, and I have daily liquidity. So unless there's some objection to doing that, the plan will be to start that process, which may take up to 6 months to fully liquidate that because of the rule that SPIA has. But I want to start on it sooner than later.
Do we have that investment graph up on the screen? Is it available to us or is it not?
It's in your packages, I believe.
Yeah, it's in the package we sent out earlier. But you'll see, as he talked about, boy, one of those funds got much higher interest rate.
Which is an anomaly from a historical context, yeah. Because it's, remember, the SPIA is invested in longer term, and so they are just now catching up as their two-year maturities unwind and they could buy at higher rates, whereas the Prime is able to take advantage of the higher rates immediately. So it's a weird time in the investment world in terms of interest rates.
Mr. Chair, do we need a motion to accept this, or is it included in the Treasurer's report, what Michael just talked about, the SPIA account?
I think it's better to have a motion.
Yeah, let's do that separately.
I'll make that motion.
Okay, so it's been moved.
I'll second.
And second, so moved and properly seconded. Any discussion? All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Passes. Okay.
Thank you, Michael, for looking forward at that. Yes, sir. It's maybe a good thing.
Any further discussion on anything under the Treasurer's report? All right, let's move on to number 9, NFIL and IPTLH update. Michael and Bill.
I'm sure everybody that was on the tour got a good taste of what the progress of the building right now and how it's looking. Our current estimates, and again, subject to change, of course, are that the building shall be substantially complete around mid-January. That's our current estimate. Just to give you change orders so far, we have committed to $160,000 worth of change orders. The bulk of that at this point has been the window shades, if you guys recall. That was almost $80,000. We do anticipate another $50,000 to $75,000 of change orders as we bring this thing in for a landing. But in the scale of things, a $22 million, $23 million project with $230,000 of change orders is a pretty modest move. And a lot of that's driven by city inspectors and codes that have changed during construction.
Don't throw that on my back.
I try not to linger too long on you, John.
Don't throw that on my back.
Also, just as all of you recall, we did get an appropriation through the legislature this past year with the help of Tallahassee Community College. We had those funds have been received here just last week, and we immediately placed all of our deposits for furniture, fixtures, and equipment. There is a process for some more of that money over the next several months that we'll be working, and we will constantly be trying to request money, fund, reimburse, and so on. But we've got plans for the overwhelming majority of that $1.5 million, which will really outfit this new lab very nicely and very functional.
Michael, didn't our original budget proposal, looking at this, have a substantial larger number for reserve and for contingencies than what we are spending up here?
In terms of?
Larger size.
Are you talking about the FFE, or are you talking about the construction?
Change orders and so forth. Didn't we have a larger contingency than what we're spending?
There was an initial drafts of everything had about $950,000 of contingency. And if you recall, remember, that's not like a money we get back, of course. That was just, we had access through the line of credit with FSU to spend that. And so it's just money that we're not going to spend, that we were going to borrow to spend. We may spend some of that, frankly, to get the FF&E timing right, to furnish the building. But we anticipated far more in contingency change orders, rather, than we've experienced so far. I also don't want to jinx it, but we're not quite there yet.
Culpepper's done a nice job keeping that thing in line.
And the architect has done a nice job of reminding them that this request was in the original plans and specs. I can assure you there has been a lot of back and forth, and the numbers could have been much higher but for the work of Lewis and Whitlock, frankly, to keep everybody on task.
Good.
All right. I'll just blow through these. Just a reminder, when we do take control of the building, our insurance costs are anticipated at about $9,000 a month. We anticipate utilities initially, when it's not even full, of course, to be in the neighborhood of $10,000 a month, in addition to a host of other expenses. So as David mentioned, once we take ownership of the lab, it is a considerable increase in our cash consumption. EDA, as required under the agreements with EDA, we have to submit our draft of our leases that is going to go out to the members and the tenants in the building, as well as our rates. We did that this week. I do not know how quickly they will respond to this about those leases. We felt it was pretty generic and would hopefully be acceptable. We've also shared a copy with the Florida State's folks and the research department, research office, to get any feedback they might have. Now, Bill, you want to talk about the website or anything I missed?
Just to follow up, we do have prospects that are interested in moving to the lab immediately, and so that's why we're trying to expedite approval on these agreements, and I can detail that as needed. Website, only thing to note there is, I think we mentioned, we're separating LCRDA from Innovation Park. We've also stood up North Florida Innovation.org is the lab's website. And so prospects are pointed directly from that nonprofit website directly to us for tours. So, and we talked with FSU about opportunities that we have and they have vis-a-vis our staffing, and that conversation will continue. As you know, we've got positions, essential positions funded, and want to make sure the intent is the same with FSU, and then we'll move forward to put these folks in the lab. So any questions you have, I'm happy to answer.
All right, questions for Bill and Michael on the lab update. All right, hearing none, let's go to item number 10, LCRDA update. Michael.
I'll start with, if you guys recall at the last meeting, there was a request for some background and historical information on Innovation Park. Ray Bai took a stab at that, put a lot of time into it. I think he worked with Peggy quite a bit. And then we shared that with this board. I think I just wanted to open this up to A, if anybody had any corrections, amendments, or additions to that, and just to see, make sure everybody got that and that you have that as a resource depending on how questions may or may not come to you. I think that was the purpose of that background paper, was to give everybody a longer run historical context of it.
The way it's written, it ends with more should be added here and a conclusion. I think one of the things that we ought to understand is how we might possibly implement or deploy this information. And in what timing, that may inform how we bring it in for a conclusion. Not sure, putting it out there. Ray, thank you. There's a lot of information here, and it's very helpful.
You're welcome. I just wanted to mention that I put in no ending and conclusion, because obviously we haven't got an ending.
We're writing it as we go.
Right. But I think there somebody who's really intimately involved in that discussion, those discussions, probably should do that section of it. There's one component that Bill has mentioned, Michael mentioned, since we've turned the paper in, and I want to thank Peggy. She did a great job of providing an immense amount of information. If any of you had any conception that I had the kind of memory or know of,
I was very impressed.
You are absolutely wrong, and she was just absolutely integral to this. But one component that Michael has mentioned is that, in a sense, we were, I think as a board even, looking for a precedent of what we are doing now in discussions with NAMU and FSU, and what we did in 2013. There was also a somewhat similar transfer back in 1991, prior to the Magnet Laboratories location here. I believe it was 23 acres.
23 and a half acres in 91. And then also I found another one in 2003 where AMI and HPMI are.
I couldn't find that anything written, but I did find
that. So this is the fourth time.
So there are two or three additional precedents, if you will, for doing what we're doing. Examples of using an MOU to transfer the land from Innovation Park from the authority. To a university or one of the two universities. So I'll make a note of that, where that probably could be inserted, put some language together at some point if that would be helpful.
This was intended to be a resource, yep.
I was just going to say that this is an incredible resource for us to have. Thank you, Ray.
Thank you, Ray.
And at some point, you know, people who are a little more on the marketing side, whatever, maybe the political side as well, I think can help us come up with something that is maybe one page, you know, very condensed
version. Spin it up a little bit.
Yep. And, you know, there's going to be a lot of talking to people at some point when all this goes forward. So it'd be good to have both.
Very good. Any other... anything else as it relates to the background paper? Great, thank you. That's a tremendous amount of work to get this started, and we will continue that discussion. Item number B, the LCRDA building and leasing updates.
Obviously, we have not done a lot of leasing. We did get a tenant in here for 6 months in this building, I think about $10,000. A robotics club got a grant. They needed space. They gave us $10,000. I think they paid us in front, basically, in advance. So they'll be here through April-ish. And that's really the only, you know, significant tenant or change since our last board meeting on the property. Next thing is the OEB juggernaut. Just a reminder to everybody that when the Danfoss building gets their CO, we can apply to the OEB folks for the last $268,000 of that juggernaut project. I was hoping Keith or Kevin were going to bring that check today. Neither one of them has made enough eye contact to suggest to me that I was going to get that.
I'll cash out the CO.
And that's all there is I wanted to mention there. The last topic, of course, is the status of FAMU and FSU regarding the MOU. Peggy sent, I think, with your package last week, she distributed the draft MOU as of last Thursday. There have been very, very, very minor changes to that document. Since then, both general counsels, David Self and Dustin Daly, respectively, have okayed that, and that MOU is now making its way towards the respective presidents of universities for execution. Could be today, could be tomorrow. Certainly, we're hoping to have that done ASAP. But anybody, and so I think one of the things we'd like to do is ultimately, after some discussion, is get authorization from this board to execute on our behalf, as one, and subsequent to some discussion, making sure it doesn't change much.
Has everybody had a chance to read the MOU, and you're comfortable with what it says? It really does follow the form and the format that was established in the 2013 document. Clearly, I want to thank Michael for his all the work that he's done on this, working specifically with our attorney, Melissa Van Sickle. Melissa has had many conversations with David Self and Dustin Daly. Dustin has a tremendous amount of background with state lands, with DEP, with TIF documents, and so I think that there was a tremendous amount of back and forth there to make sure that they pointed to all the issues. The MOU, if I were going to describe it, it does point to all the things that need to be addressed between now and the time property is distributed. There are some open items, things that have to be resolved, but purpose of this document was not to resolve the items, it was to flag the fact that they needed to be addressed.
It's a spirit document, right? This is not an purchase contract. That's what's going to be, because ultimately we're going to end up with a transaction with FAMU and a transaction with FSU, because it'll just be individual transactions when that happens. And the only thing we did add was a date of April 30th to the agreement to try to get it executed, get the actual transactions executed.
And I think that with most of the properties, that will be not terribly challenging. It might be challenging with North Florida Innovation Labs. That property has more complexity to it. And so if the date needs to be amended and extended, it certainly can be, but that gives us something to shoot for. All right? All right, so,
is there anything in that memorandum of understanding that requires the continuation of the Leon County Research and Development Authority?
That's a great question, and I don't think it's written as such, but the distributing the assets is in my opinion, it's a different conversation than the continuance of the LCRDA. If we were...
Why?
If we were to take our land assets and distribute, and we no longer had properties that we were overseeing the management of, we're not collecting rents, and we don't have the financial burden of maintaining properties. We still have the operation of LCRDA in pursuit of the mission. And that's a conversation that we have not resolved in this room. And so that has to happen. I don't know what the future of that is.
So the future of the RDA isn't really an agreement with FAMU and Florida State, quite frankly. That is a board-level discussion subsequent to this transaction.
That really is not my question. My question was, is anything in the agreement that requires the LCRDA to continue? And the reason, you know, I know once the transfer takes place, we are therefore basically without any land assets, without any basis for income. Question, I don't know whether it posed to David as a treasurer or to you, is what kind of residual assets will the authority have after these transfers per this agreement take place?
Okay, so specifically to that, anything that sits on all the cash and the investments that sit on our balance sheet, I believe that they remain. Also, the 26 acres?
We have 18 acres over on Eisenhower.
Yeah.
It's not in the park.
So there are still things that have to be resolved from a business perspective beyond the 208 acres inside the four corners of the park.
Could I ask why the 18 acres on Eisenhower was not at least put in as part of this agreement to let FAMU or FSU decide whether they wanted that property or not?
So there's probably a couple different reasons or answers to that. Right now, that's an asset that, from the perspective of our fiduciary responsibility over this board, that is a valuable asset that we have no...
Doesn't cost us anything.
Is there any insurance?
There's no burden associated with it. It's picked up in our insurance. The other thing is, because we don't really know what's on that site. It was a borrow pit. It was we obtained it through a trade with the county or the city, I apologize, which one. And nobody will give representations in terms of what's there, what was put there, what was taken away from there. There's going to be a phase two obligation probably to figure out what to do with it. It might be very valuable. That's not money we've spent to do that exercise to figure out what the conditions on the ground of that site are at present.
But we will have to.
Potentially.
And we don't have any income to do that.
We'll have cash to do that.
How much cash?
Depending when we close the transaction. $1 million,
and
million
then,
two.
Then we've got staff salaries for some period of time,
right.
Let's just say April 30th.
Yeah, that would get, I'm talking, by, if we were to close this thing by April 30th, we would have, you know, $1 million, million two available to finalize, always complete the transaction. Potentially NFIL won't be done by then, so we'll still have to deal with that. And then we'll have to, all of our reporting, we'll deal with Eisenhower. Yeah, there's a lot of work to do post this transaction happening.
Doesn't the new lab transfer to FSU in that part of this?
That one may not make it by the April 30 date because it's got the EDA. We've got to get a reimbursement from the EDA, $1.2 million still hanging up. There are pieces. There's the legacy properties, all of the existing buildings. They should be the easier, faster components of the transaction. The lab has got more complexity around it.
It'll probably be three transactions.
Three transactions is my guess.
Yeah,
and go ahead.
Yeah, just a quick comment. The EDA ultimately has to approve the transfer of that asset. And the other thing, which is a good thing, is we have this build-to-scale grant, which funds people for 3 years, and it's just on part of our salaries. And we've already had a discussion with FSU about combining some resources that they have through their ARC grant with our resources to essentially save $750,000 in salaries for the lab. So again,
they can match off our salaries. Stacey Patterson is very interested in that. Bill had a good discussion with her about leveraging the RDA staff to generate positions that are already funded by the other grant.
That's right. And these are the same positions that are in the pro forma. So somebody's got to pay for it. We've had a very productive conversation with the FSU about combining these synergistic opportunities.
And one of the things that we've done in the last few or several weeks as we've worked with Alan Noble's consulting group, was the surveyor back in 2013 that surveyed the park. We went back to them. Their company actually sold into a firm called SAM. SAM has, we've been working with SAM to update our map so that we understand the 208. And I think we're at 207.89 or something.
Yes. Yeah.
So we're real close to that number. But the purpose of that really is so that as land inside the four corners of Innovation Park are distributed, we know that we're not left with, the RDA is not left with some, yeah, some strip of land between this road and that curb and that pond. And we really do, inside the four corners of the park, need to be able to account for everything. And I think we were there. So we're pleased with that exercise.
Well, you can tell by my question is that I am of the mind that we ought to declare victory. And part of that was writing this paper. I looked over the last 43 years of this authority, and we have done some good things. Since the start, we began with 208 acres with the charge of making that land available for economic development and research and development activities. And we have done that. We had a bump in the road back in the early 2000s that was acknowledged in that paper, but by and large, we've been going on a slow but steady progress toward that goal. And it seems to me that there are very few organizations, and there are even fewer governmental organizations, that can say that over that period of time, we have completely met our mission and our responsibilities. We can declare victory and we can go out of business. And I think that's the way we ought to end this arrangement. It ought to go out on a high note. I think it's the kind of thing that the city and the county and the authority can take some pride in. The city of Tallahassee and this region can take some pride in. We look around, we see places like Danfoss and the Mag Lab, and now our new information lab and the FSU properties that are coming online. And it's going to be a major high point for not only Leon County, but for this part of Florida. And I think we don't have a business further. We are an inefficient organization. We can't talk to each other over in the lab because we're all members of this board. It's not the way to run an organization. And lacking property, lacking income, and lacking any mission that is not duplicative of OEC, WEVE, or other things, even like Blueprint, that are doing economic development projects. We don't have the staff for that, we don't have the expertise for that, and we certainly don't have any kind of ongoing resources to do that. So it just seems to me that whatever resources we've got residual, be it 1.2, 1,800,000, whatever that is, let's divide it up proportionally between FSU and FAMU, or let's give it in its entirety to OEB, and let them do economic development with those funds. And let us go out of business and congratulate each other on a job well done.
So I appreciate that perspective, and I agree with your perspective. That is that's a conversation that we've lightly touched on, but we haven't given it a considerable amount of discussion in this room yet. When we get to that conversation, whether it's today or a subsequent meeting, that leads to the potential for a discussion of wind-up. And wind-up is a different conversation than the RDA working with the two universities to distribute assets. They touch, but they are different. The MOU clearly points to our intent to work with FAMU and FSU to distribute land and buildings. When we started this conversation, we were very clear that the end is in sight. We because of the things that you've just described, we are inefficient, and our runway has a terminus. We will run out of money. The more efficiently we are able to affect the distribution of land, the more money we retain on our balance sheet, and the longer we have to figure out what the next thing is. And the next thing, Ray, to your point, might be windup. I think that that's a conversation that absolutely needs to occur. And I put it before the board, is that something, my opinion is we don't want to dilute the MOU with because of the intent of the MOU, but we can certainly start the conversation of, and then what? It has to happen. To your point, it has to happen.
Yes, sir. Dave?
I'd like to go on record by saying we've done a tremendous job of setting up the research part of the R&D. If we evolve into something else, I would love to see us move toward the development side and be charged by the city, the county, the OEV, and whoever else can help us financially to establish and develop an industrial park in this county. I've lived in a lot of different places. This is the only town I've ever lived in that did not have an industrial park. This town is so in need of being diversified with its job opportunities and its employment and what we can do for our community. But I'd love to see us say we've done the research, now it's time for us to focus on the development. Set a new mission, reestablish so that we don't have the complexity of having to not be able to talk to one another in some other form, but continue on and go to the next step and be something else for this community. That's my piece for the record.
Good. Well, thank you.
I'd like to make one comment.
Please, Tom.
The critical path is the deal with FSU and FAMU. If those two things don't happen, and I don't want to do one single thing that takes us off that path until that gets done.
And I would point out also, guys, just to understand what an MOU is and what it isn't.
It's not a contract.
This deal could blow up 10 ways from Sunday.
Right.
And until that, we have to have the resources here in our offices, doing the work that we do today. And I would also add, we will be in far better financial situation as an entity after we close with $1 million in the bank than we are today. We will be in a vastly stronger, and it's not an indefinite, but remember, we're not in a perpetual situation today. We will actually have a longer runway post this transaction. Now, the board will then have to decide, what do we want to do with this place? I think that's a very legitimate question, but our mission has always been economic development from day one. And we haven't fulfilled that, perhaps. But that role and that obligation exists today, which we're not doing. And so we've got to decide what happens post this transaction of what does this entity want to be with its finite resources and staff at that point in time. I would also say that if the objective, and there's human beings in this room, if we're talking about shutting it down the day after we do this, that has a negative impact on this staff right now and their ability to bring this deal home and compromises our ability to execute what we're still trying to execute. That's still a maybe.
And
I'm probably speaking out of school here.
No, that's critically important. We need to underscore that. Whether it takes us 6 months, 12 months, or 2 years to do the things that occur after the distribution, we need to make sure that we have enough money to have a healthy staff to be able to accomplish those objectives. Otherwise, we leave everything in a tremendous mess. There's got to be an orderly process to a windup, if that's the decision of the board.
I just want to be sure nobody misunderstood what I was saying. I in no way want to do anything that would jeopardize the MOU and the distribution of those properties to FAMU and to FSU. And to follow up, I understand that the day that's done doesn't end what that MOU expects. And I know there will be closing and other kinds of contractual arrangements that keep us going. I'm not talking about those kinds of things. Those can be handled by one person. And I said, April 30th, we've got funds to keep staff going full time. This is not going to take that long. I thought I heard that at least the MOU from the president's level is going to probably be signed in the next few days, possibly. At least I know we have another step or so after that with the Board of Governors, et cetera, et cetera. But point is, we are looking at something reasonably finite. And what I want this board to begin to think about is where and what are we going to be doing when all of our responsibilities relative to distributing the land are taken care of. Why do we need to continue doing economic development or development, even, David, when there are other entities in the city, at the airport, at OEV, other places in town that are doing that? Why are we wanting to duplicate with our lack of expertise in that area, to be quite candid? And certainly, we don't have a staff that is oriented to taking proposals in for economic development activities. You know, we're not that kind of organization. So it does, again, underscore for me the need to say, we have succeeded in what our mission was, we have done what we were asked to do, and it's time to say adios.
And I was just going to say that, I guess for me, what I interpret Ray's comments as was, okay, post this agreement, and Ray, you can tell me if I'm wrong, that post this agreement, what's the landing point? And then what funding mechanisms do we have to get to that landing point? I was saying my interpretation of that, because you were asking how much was in the bank, looking at staff that's there, with the property gone, then there's no way of generating additional revenue, which is kind of where I thought you were going to say, hey, because we don't have a mechanism for then generating revenue, then what becomes our landing point and actually off ramp? And so to me, that's what I was taking from what you said. So I don't know how others interpret it, but that was maybe my layperson's interpretation of where I think we're trying to, or what this discussion is all about.
Go ahead.
Yeah, well, I think it's plenty obvious that over a period of years, although it wasn't our intent, it turns out that the land has become a major liability for the entity, and as opposed to an asset, functionally at least. So distributing it to those parties who can manage it and manage it more effectively certainly makes sense. And so that gets to a point where we don't know what that feels like as an entity or board. I think it'd be worth having a discussion when the dust settles on that, as Dave suggests, to find out what our options are. And it may well be that what Ray is talking about makes the most sense. I have no idea what the capabilities are, what the needs locally might be for that sort of thing. Maybe there's a role we could play. If not, then we need to get out of the way.
I think a lot of people here are saying elements of the same thing. You know, we talked about how, Ray, you were saying that, you know, once the transfer of assets takes place, we won't have any revenue sources. And that's obvious and very important, but just as impactfully, we won't have any expenses to the degree that we've got right now. So that comes back to the metaphor I think Kevin was using. So the quicker and more efficiently and effectively we can transfer those assets, the longer that runway is. Right. When we make that transfer, then we've got hopefully in April we'll have, you know, 1.2 or more in the bank or around that amount. We'll have a pretty long runway to really have a thorough discussion of where we want to go, and whether that's sunsetting the organization, whether it's looking for a new outlet for our efforts. I think that's a very important discussion we need to have. But the key thing right now is to cut our expenses and get us to the point where we can start to think about where we're going to land and
how. Make this deal go through.
Yes,
the most
yes.
important thing.
And again, exactly. I clarify that we keep talking about we have revenue sources, guys. We don't. We have rental income, and then the cost to get that rental income exceeds
that's
the rental income. Okay, so there is no revenue source today. To be real clear, we have revenues, but no cash flow created by that. So that's why I say that we will be in better financial shape and a lesser cash burn post-transaction than we do today. That doesn't mean we still don't have to go figure out, well, what do we want to do, because it's not forever at that point. We're still going to be burning cash, right? It's just a matter at a slower rate. But the idea isn't just to burn it down as slow as we can for as long as we can. That's not the mission of the organization, or any organization for that matter.
To remind everybody, give us a quick recap of our HVAC system. Just
today?
Just to understand the point that Michael's making about, we have revenues, but the cost associated with maintaining very old buildings exceeds what we bring in revenue. And we are at risk right now just because of things like HVAC.
Absolutely. We've got, you know, half of our air conditioning units are almost 20 years old. And that, you know, that's $1 million surprise sitting out there. So that's just the maintenance cost that is ongoing and never stops with anybody. It's a homeowner knows that. It's just now this is on a bigger scale. It's a 40-year-old home, if you will, with 100 air conditioning units for some reason, and they're expensive to fix.
So, and I think, and there's a lot of those issues.
And I agree with you about declaring victory and being very clear with the public about the efforts that you all have done before I got here, largely to tout the success. We can tout that success and then have that runway, whether it's a year or 6 months or whatever, to really figure out what we're going to do and how. So those two things can coexist. You know, announce victory and then figure out where we're going to be at that point, at, you know, once we make that big transfer and declare victory. So,
going back, Ray, to your point, it's an important conversation, and we need to engage in it. We need to figure out what that looks like and what that path looks like. And I would suggest that in the first part of this upcoming calendar year, we put legitimate effort behind that conversation. I'm not prepared to have more of it today. It's not something that I've spent any time preparing for. But we have to plan. We have to plan the path.
And Mr. Chair, real quick, I'll say one last thing. Another part of this whole thing is making sure that we take care of our staff. That wherever we end up going and how, we got to make sure that our staff feel like they are in a safe place. They've got an income for themselves and their families. I mean, that's a key part of this. And I want to make sure that we're all paying attention to that, because we need them. We need them now, we need them for the transfer of the assets, and then after the transfer of assets, we need them in whatever form we take from that point out. So I want to point that out.
Because we will still be an entity that operates. Yeah. Our business model will look different, but we still have all of the elements of an operating business. We're going to have to figure all that
out. We're going to have regulatory requirements under both the EDA and the state government. I mean, we've got to file all that. There is a wind down. I didn't have spent very little time trying to figure out what that looks like, frankly. But there is a real process for special districts to have to go through, and it doesn't happen the day after something else happened. It is a real planning effort, filing effort, approvals required, even all of those things to do. And we'll just have to get smart about those. But we've invested very little time, frankly, in that. Because that exercise is frankly contingent on getting this thing done with the universities, which is going to take a lot of effort over the next, hopefully 4 months, but could be longer. And the sooner it happens, the better for all these other things.
All right, so with that conversation, I'm looking for a motion. And what I would suggest is that we need the ability to approve the MOU in its current form. I think that we would want to authorize Michael Kramer as our interim executive director the ability to make any final modifications that aren't substantive that do follow the intent of the document. I think that we would want to authorize me and or Michael the ability to sign the MOU, and then to authorize Michael to work with the LCRDA Executive Committee to assemble and execute necessary documents to effect the terms, to effectuate the terms of the MOU, including transferring any and all land assets from the LCRDA to FAMU and FSU as described in the MOU. Right?
Well, I'm going to object to that.
Okay.
Object to it because I raised this point earlier with Michael about suggesting that would it be appropriate to offer a suggestion or a motion that this board meet monthly because of the time issues that are confronting it. And secondly, because I think as a board, we have a responsibility to make decisions on this level, which are the biggest decisions this board has ever made, and not delegate them to a three-person executive committee, of which FSU and two other representatives, without FAMU, without the county, without that kind of representation that's provided by the board. And I think we have a fiduciary responsibility to make decisions on behalf of the board on decisions of this level.
Okay.
And I just think that delegating that to Michael is unfair. Not that anybody has any question about the integrity there, nor of the integrity of the executive committee. It's just not broadly based, and its responsibilities are not as inherent as they are with the board as a whole.
Well, all right, so I will open it up to, is there a motion? And hang on, Eric was, go ahead, Eric.
Yeah, let me just suggest that relative to Ray's comments, which are certainly understandable and make complete sense, we could tentatively schedule some dates for meetings and we can always cancel them. Okay. You mentioned monthly meetings. We can schedule one in January, February, et cetera, and we can always cancel those. So if nothing, there's no need, but at least it's on the books, and the reporting requirements and notifications, et cetera, are already in place.
Okay.
I'm very comfortable with that.
All right.
Good suggestion.
Is there a motion?
I'll move.
Forgive me. Peggy, do you have that motion clear as to what that motion is? Because I'm not.
Approve the MOU in its current form, authorize Michael Kramer to make any final non-substantive modifications that follow the intent of the document. We're clear on this one. Authorize Michael Kramer and or Kevin Graham to sign it. And then Michael work with executive to assemble and execute the docs to effectuate the transfer.
Let me withdraw my motion and ask that it be more clearly stated. About the chair.
But I thought that we were going to incorporate Ray's suggestion with the monthly meeting.
So,
is that too much? That's why it's second
question? I'm trying to figure out.
Okay, so if we go back to what I requested, but we peel out the ability to execute the documents. Okay, so then it would be.
You mean the contract documents?
The contract,
yes, the contract documents.
That's where I. Yeah.
I think the dividing line would be at the MOU. Anything post MOU, we would need to have.
So everything that Peggy described is on the same point that I was bringing up. I think the one thing that we would, to incorporate Ray's comment, the board, the full board, would have to come back together to approve executing documents that transfer assets.
The contract.
Yeah.
Or the definitive agreement.
It's actually going to be, there's not probably, our expectation is that there really won't be contracts. We'll move from MOU to get to execution documents that will then have to be executed. So they're going to race towards a closing that will have to then come back to this board to sign, to get permission to sign closing documents.
And
is what it would be.
And part of that looks like, at least for most of the assets, maybe not NFIL, but most of the assets, it would be a concurrent release of lease by the RDA and acceptance of the lease by FAM or FSU. Because all of this sits, most all of this sits under the state at the TIF. So in a moment's time, we will release and the university will accept. So it's a little different, but.
I think I get it now. There's no interim set.
Right, there's not going to be an interim agreement. It's going to go from here to potential closing documents that we have to then bring back to this board and say, these are the closing documents. We're not bound to sign anything.
Right.
Because the MOU, anybody can blow it up. So if then you'll have another set of documents that become execution documents.
So would it be,
that's what was done
fair
last
to
time.
Say that the board approved the execution documents before you signed?
You would have to have, that's basically what Ray's motion more or less is that we're approving the MOU, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, to execute. But then before we execute or sign the execution documents, the board has to get it.
Okay, let me get clarification.
Is that right?
Just So you or Kevin have the authorization for the MOU and minor modifications to the MOU. And then the board will approve the contract or execution documents.
And we'll then give specific permission subsequent to the board's review for Kevin or I then to execute those documents.
With that modification.
Is everybody clear, or do we want to step through that again?
I'll second the motion. It hasn't been seconded yet.
Okay, I'll move the motion again then. This motion.
Okay, so Dave moves, Rich seconds. Further discussion? Hearing no discussion. All in favor, aye.
Aye. Aye.
Anyone opposed? Okay, that motion carries.
Now the meetings, more scheduling more meetings?
Yeah, let's do that. Let's look to... think about this. The language of the MOU puts an April 30th date as the target to get everything accomplished. Now, if that has to be amended and extended, we will certainly do that. But using that as our target, what if we were to do monthly meetings that were essentially the end of the third week, the beginning of the fourth week of the month, so that we were planning to be ready for something that happens a week before the end of April. So I just see this. Go ahead.
I mean, if you think about it, probably nothing will happen until meaningful until the end of January. So would it be prudent to start with a February target?
Well, we've got a February board.
We've got a February board.
That's scheduled to be February.
So all we got to do is
get one in March.
So let me just add this is. A month too long also, would it be better to have them on every 2 weeks and then we cancel them if we don't need them?
Let me just say, would it be better just to have it on call?
That doesn't do the
notice. I don't know that we're allowed to do
that. Make Peggy crazy with the notices.
So all we got to do is schedule one in March, and we're set.
What about January?
Don't need one in January.
We're meeting the first week of February, right?
Yes.
I just don't see between the next 3 weeks, FSU is going to be quiet. Their lawyer, FSU and FAMU lawyers are going to be driving this bus, not us. We're going to be responding. And then frankly, just so you guys, if you review the MOU, there's a lot of discussion between FAMU and FSU that we got nothing to do with. So that calendar is going to get by and large driven by those two parties working out, development review committee, all the property rights, the declarant rights, all of those things we don't have a vote in as this thing evolves forward. Right. It's going to be FSU and FAMU having those conversations, making sure all of the drainage easements are recognized and accounted for. Our role is to get this map perfect for those guys to work with. That's what we are obligated to do at this point. And then those two parties are going to negotiate those things. We're not going to be that interested.
With zero control over timing.
That's right. So I think I think it's reasonable to schedule one in March. Just whatever we know. I don't anticipate a lot happening that this board's going to have to discuss during the month of January.
Well, if you're looking for an agenda for March, I think we ought to put down at least, if not for February, a continuation of the discussion about where do we go from here. We'll be close enough. We'll be able to have the MOU signed, hopefully approved, maybe even up past presidents by then.
Oh, no, I'm hoping to have it past presidents this week.
Yeah, past the presidents.
The MOU's
got to go to the Board of Trustees.
The document, I don't know if the MOU is going to go any higher than the presidents.
I don't think it needs to.
So after that's done, then I think it's time for the board to begin to look at whatever the length of that runway is. Begin to think about what this board ought to do and what it ought to become.
Good. Any other discussion on that?
Did call for vote, I think.
Oh, did
on the March meeting?
No, on the motion and the second.
Did we? Oh, we did. Yeah, we did. Okay, so let's make sure that we do have a March meeting and an April meeting. I think we already have an April meeting. Okay, so we'll have one in March. And if we, at the beginning of February, if we anticipate, based on what transpires between now and then, that we're going to need incremental meetings after February, but before the end of March, we can certainly address it at that time.
So I'm going to just say this one time for me. for me, it would be better to have it on the calendar and not need it, because if you try to put something on my calendar in February for a couple weeks out, I might not have availability. So that's why I was asking, I would rather put it on there and not need it and cancel it than wait until then to see if we do.
We have a schedule for February and April right now. We're going to find a date in March to get on the calendar.
Okay, let's. How about this? Let's find two dates between the beginning of February and whenever the April meeting is.
Right.
Let's, if they're 2 or 3 weeks apart, something right. like that.
We go to cancel.
Yeah.
Right. It works easier.
Fair enough. That makes sense.
Yep.
March 7th is the first Thursday to keep us consistent.
Okay. Add that one, and then find one other, probably between that March and then the April meeting. Let's do an interim meeting there.
You might as well schedule one for late April then, too.
Yeah, do one, put a meeting a week in advance of the end of the month, you know, the 23rd or something ish. Like that-ish.
So there'll be a regular scheduled one in April.
And then we'll have another one put on the calendar for late April.
This
and we'll have a read, you know, how this thing's progressing, hopefully prior to that point. It won't be the last minute, because we're going to be engaged in those conversations just so we know what's going on.
To Shante and to Ray's point, let's get it out there. It's easier to, that gives everybody the ability to plan for it. Okay, any other questions, comments, concerns on that? The only thing I want to add in my report is thank you to Michael and Bill and Heine. You guys and Peggy, y'all are carrying a lot of water right now. And we are obviously in part of this is a redo from 2013, but the largest part of this is uncharted waters. And thank you for the work and the support and the effort that you are investing. We appreciate everything that you do. You guys are making us look good. Anybody else?
New business.
Yes, new business?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
I reached out kind of unofficially to the LeMoyne Arts Center. They have a fabulous vault of art. They've loaned it all over the community, to the hospitals, to the airport, to the temple, to different places. If the board feels comfortable, I'd like to see what they might be willing to loan us. If it's appropriate, they may not have appropriate pieces, but I'd like us approval to look into that.
And for the lab?
Yeah, for the lab.
I have a comment. I think that in advance of taking delivery on the lab and understanding the full capacities of lighting and all those things, as well as what FSU intends to do in the lab, I think we should wait a couple of months minimally. There is future lighting contemplated for art pieces, but I don't know that we can get our heads around that for the next 90 days. And I don't mean to be disrespectful. We've had conversations with COCA about loaning art pieces. And in researching it, we would need to be indemnified.
It's extra stuff.
Yeah, so I love the idea. I think the timing is a little too soon.
Yeah, I'm not proposing we do it right away. Other than maybe just look to see. We may look at their art and say none of this is appropriate for our building. It's just not what we're looking for.
I do think it's appropriate that as staff has time to flesh out what the issues are, whether it's, you know, certain art has to stay inside of different lighting. Some has to stay inside of spaces that are heated and cooled and the humidity is at a certain level. Some, whether it's the indemnity issues or whatever the issues are, but we also need to make sure that we're keeping that inside of what the staff has the ability to do while we're also finishing up the project itself.
Yeah. And this will only be for like conference rooms or open areas or reception areas. Certainly wouldn't be for any laboratories.
These may not be our buildings anymore, maybe.
I'm sorry? May not be our building. and they'd only be on loan. So I don't know. I walk through the airport and I see many times nice art in there. But if it's available to us, it's, and if it's appropriate, I'd like just to see about whether it's available to us. I'm hearing that we
I think at the right time it makes sense for staff to handle, frankly, to do that.
That's right.
I think you, and I know Kelly, so that we could certainly look into that when the timing makes sense.
Yeah, Concrete's been out here.
That's right.
They offered to someone else, or I think
the forms become a problem. Everybody's got forms to sign. Yeah, it seems simple enough. I just want to hang this thing on the wall, but there's a bunch of paperwork.
I think it's a great idea, and it then becomes a scheme at lab. You know, we have the art to the STEM piece, and that's part of what drives the economy. So I think it's a great idea. I think it's just a function of time until we actually receive the lab and understand things like gas and electric and all those things first.
Any other new business?
Just real quick, I really want to thank Michael and the staff and everyone here for all the work that's going on. These are heavy items. There's a lot going on, and I mean, the things that we're doing right here, we'll be doing over the next several months, are going to have a huge impact on the community and on FSU and FAMU. So just thank you for everything you're doing. Thanks to staff. Two more quick things, very happy as well. I was going to embarrass the mayor when he left, but it's his birthday today. So if you see him later or if you get a chance, just tell him happy birthday. And then last,
sing on the record.
I know, we could. And then lastly, just want to wish everybody a happy holiday, Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Happy Kwanzaa. So,
very good.
Happy New Year.
Anyone else? Motion to adjourn.
Move.
Good meeting, everybody.